Man, she's cute. I've loved that gal for a long time. This summer, well, spring's tomorrow. It still feels like winter, but this summer we'll be married 38 years. I mean, that's a long time for her to put up with me, I can tell you that. Oh, thanks. Honest Christian, it really is. Okay. So when I think about Easter and I think about Jesus, the closer Jesus got to the cross, the fewer people followed. And when I think about Jesus and when I think about getting closer to the cross, Jesus had controversy. He made people mad. And I want to look at one specific thing that he did. I mean, he claimed to be God's son. And he absolutely went against the tide of the current religious system. And it's amazing what we read in Matthew chapter 26. It says inside, and remember, I don't want to read all of the verses, but Peter's kind of hiding now. One of his closest followers, he said he would never reject Jesus, but we are prone to wonder. When the pressure mounts, it's hard to stay committed. And Peter was one of those, and it says this, inside, the leading priest and the entire council were trying to find false witnesses who would lie about Jesus so they could put him to death. Just park there for about 5 seconds. The religious establishment was trying to find somebody to lie about Jesus so they could put Jesus to death. But even though they found many who agreed to give false witness, they could not use anyone's testimony. Finally, two men came forward who declared, "This man said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days." Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Well, aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say for yourself?" But Jesus remained silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I demand in the name of the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Wow. And it wasn't just then. Through the years, a couple thousand years, people have tried to disprove Christianity. People have tried to make wild accusations against Jesus. One of those that I've heard, and maybe you've heard, you know, of course, you know, there is a historical Jesus, and he's a good teacher, and that's about it. I mean, it would be very tough to deny that Jesus Christ actually walked on the earth, but who was he? A lot of people say he was a good teacher. There's a book called The Message of Jesus Christ, and Gandhi wrote this book, and he says this, "It was more than I could believe that Jesus was the only incarnate Son of God, and that he who believed in him would have everlasting life. If God could have sons, all of us were his sons. If Jesus was like God or God himself, all men were like God and could be God himself. I could accept Jesus as a martyr, as a divine teacher, but not as the most perfect man ever born." Page 12. "His death on the cross was a great example to the world. But that there was anything mysterious or miraculous that would have virtue in it, my heart could not accept this." Wow. I've enjoyed C.S. Lewis, and so many people have. He writes this, the Oxford scholar, "I am trying to prevent anyone from saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God." And this has been said multiple times, but I think it's worth repeating today because you and I have to really answer the question, who is Jesus? If he's a great moral teacher, okay. If he is God's son and claimed himself equal to God, that's a whole different conversation. C.S. Lewis writes, "Either this man was and is the Son of God, or something else, a madman or something even worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit on him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his knees and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to." And I've heard other people say that, you know, to believe in Jesus, everybody needs a crutch. People who believe in Jesus, people who follow Jesus are basically weaker people, weak-minded people, and they need help in life. It even goes so far to say, I don't know that Jesus really even existed. Some years back, Time magazine wrote an article called "The Man of the Millennium." And Time magazine quoted people who made a great impact upon the world and people who rose to great power, like Muhammad, Catherine the Great, Marx, Gandhi, Hitler, Roosevelt, and Stalin. Those were ones that came to mind. And they actually impacted millions of people, some for good and some for evil. And then they write this, "It would require the most exotic calculation, however, to deny that the single most powerful figure, not of these two millenniums, but in all history, has been Jesus of Nazareth. A serious argument can be made that no one else's life has proven remotely as powerful and enduring as that of Jesus." And the question that we have to really struggle with is the foundation to Christian faith. Who is Jesus? Is he for weak-minded men and women? Is he just a good moral teacher, and there are a lot of them? Are there actually many ways that you can go to heaven? Albert Einstein once said in an interview with the Saturday Evening Post, "As a child, I received instruction both in the Bible and the Talmud. I am a Jew, but I am enthralled with the luminous figure of the Nazarene. Jesus is too colossal for the pen of phrasemongers, however artful. No one can read the Gospels without feeling the actual presence of Jesus. His personality pulsates in every word. No myth is filled with such a life." Jesus spoke so clearly that he was the Son of God. Go back with me to Matthew and let's see what Jesus' own words were. "But Jesus remained silent, and the high priest said to him, 'I demand in the name of the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God.' Jesus replied, 'You have said it, and in the future you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven.'" Oh, this is unbelievable for somebody who would be making this up. Then the high priest tore his clothes and showed his horror and said, "Blasphemy, why do we need any other witnesses? You have all heard this blasphemy. What is your verdict?" "Guilty," they shouted. "He deserves to die." Then they began to spit in Jesus' face and beat him with their fists. And someone slapped him, jeering, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who hit you that time?" Easter is 3 weeks away. I love Easter Sunday. I don't like what I'm reading today. I don't like the fact that Jesus was put on trial for being exactly who he was. I hate the fact that they slapped him in the face, they spit on the Son of God, and they beat him with their fist over and over and over. As far as the religious leaders were concerned, Jesus just confessed to a hideous crime. He claimed he was God, and their reaction would be justified if he weren't God. His divinity is the reason they put him on the cross. Why would we believe what Jesus says? He could have just said that. But what about his life? What about the life that Jesus lived? The scripture says this: he committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. They had to have people lie. Perception of truth sometimes is more powerful than the truth. Then you think about his miracles. How many miracles did Jesus perform? There's so many. He rose people from the dead. He healed those who were sick in heart and in body. And then he claims that he'll be seen again in the future in the powerful position of being at the right hand of God. And then, if you think about what was said about Jesus hundreds of years before he was ever born, if you're a skeptic, I have no problem with that. Just study the prophecies of Jesus and the ones that were fulfilled. The book I read a long time ago called Evidence That Demands a Verdict, Josh McDowell asks a question, who once was a complete skeptic. He said, "What is the probability of the prophecies from the Old Testament actually becoming a reality? What is the probability not of over 300 prophecies? Let's just take 8. For one person to actually fulfill 8 prophecies from hundreds of years before, what is the probability of that happening?" And he worked with a mathematician, and Peter Stoner, he calculated the mathematic odds of one person being able to fulfill 8 of the 300 prophecies, and he says this: "We find that the chance that any man might have lived down to the present time and fulfilled all 8 prophecies is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. So that's 1 and 17 zeros. He said, it's almost impossible. He said, let me put it in another context. Picture the great state of Texas, and let's lay silver dollars on the great state of Texas in the amount of, in the 10th of the 17th power. He said, over the entire state of Texas, you will have silver dollars and they will be 2 feet deep, covering the entire state. And he says, now what I want you to do is I want you to take one of those silver dollars and I want you to put a mark on it. Then I want you to shuffle them all, and then you're going to take somebody and you're going to blindfold them. And when you blindfold them, you tell them, take as long as you want, but with your blindfold on, I would like you to find that silver dollar. And those are the mathematical odds of any person at any time fulfilling just 8 of the 300 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. I pondered this week. Jim, why do you believe in Jesus? Is it his life? Is it the miracles? Is it how he had all these prophecies? And I'm like, yeah, I get all that. I've tried to be diligent and study to know why I believe. But when I was a teenager, I accepted Christ as my Savior. And from that day forward, my life has never been the same. Of course, I believe in the miracles. Of course, I've studied a lot of the prophecies and have tried to be diligent. But nothing compares to the fact that God changed my life. If Jesus really is God's son, the consequences are enormous. If Jesus really is God's son, then God must exist. And if God does exist, then God can be known through his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave. If Jesus is the Son of God, then God must exist, and that you and I might be able to have a relationship with Almighty God because of his Son. If Jesus really does exist, the fact of the matter is this. He would have rather died for your sins than live in eternity without you. He would have rather died for your sins than live in heaven without you. If Jesus really is the Son of God, if Jesus really did die for you, then that makes you and that makes me extremely important. Not because of who we are, and we always get that wrong. I met with a kid this week when I was at meetings in California, and he really wanted to meet with me. And it was so funny. He drove up in his beautiful Porsche Turbo Carrera, and I got in, and we're driving. He says, Jim, you just got to know. I'm like, I got to know what? He said, you know, my dad was a pastor, but I don't know if you ever knew that I just faked living for Jesus. And I'm like thinking, bro, I know. I know what you did in Mexico on a surf trip. I know all the times you were drunk and da-da-da-da. It was so funny. I felt like, you know, we were in confession in his car. You know, he's driving like a, I mean, one time, I don't know, the light was green and then amber, then a shade of red. And I think we were going like 120 through it. And I'm like, Jesus. But he wanted me to know he's no longer living for himself. and that he's serious about a relationship with God. And somehow he wanted me to know that he was sorry for how he lived before. And I thought, you're super wealthy. Matter of fact, I told him about what we were doing in Costa Rica and that I had sold a watch to do that. And he goes, Jim, I've got this watch. I'm going to give it to you. He goes, it's only worth about $8,000 right now, but I want you to have it. And I'm thinking, I really want it. But no, I can't take it because I don't want him to get off the hook that easy. I want him to give to overseas. So if I take this watch, it is not going to happen. And I said, bro, I don't want your watch, but I'm going to pray for this deal that you had. It was like a $50 million deal that might have fallen through. I said, I'm going to believe God that this deal is going to work. And when it does, I want you to give to some of the things we're doing in other countries. And he's like, okay, I'll do it. Then we left. I thought, oh, Lord, I should have taken that watch. But, I mean, you know, here's the thing. He's pretty important. But not compared to him knowing I knew he didn't follow the Lord. You can base your value on your Porsche Turbo Carrera or whatever cool thing you might have. I mean, if you want to give a watch to the church, I'll pray about it. Let me know. But no, but here's the thing. None of it's going to matter. You can't buy peace in your heart. You can't buy, it's not what you have, it's what has you. You can't buy the fact that Christ, if he's real, he died for you. And because he died for you, it makes you valuable. So it's not what you have, it's who has you. When your worth is based in Christ, it doesn't matter what you make. It matters what you're making in life. You're going to have to answer this question. Not in what you say, but in how you live. Jesus asked this to his disciples. But what about you? Jesus asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus responded, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that he died for you? I mean, poor Steve, I'm glad he got that off his chest. It's not about his badness, it's about God's goodness. I wrote this as a prayer. I just wrote this. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died for the forgiveness of my sins. I believe he rose from the dead to give me life forever. Forgive me for the wrong things I have done. And as David prayed, create in me a clean and forgiving heart. Teach me to know you and follow you until one day we meet face to face. Who is Jesus? People are still making up stuff about him, but he made it really clear. I am who I said I was, and the consequences are enormous. You can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You can know for a fact that when you breathe your last breath here on earth, you will be in his presence. You literally can start over because of the grace the Son of God has given each of us. Let's pray together. God, thank you. Thank you. Oh, it just pains my heart to know all that Jesus went through. And it was because of your great love for us. God, you watched your son be beaten, spit upon. And in just the breath, you could have wiped out every single person who stood and did such hideous things to your son, but you didn't. You didn't because right here today at Hope Church, in this building, Hope at Home, we matter. We matter to you, and you allowed your son to die for us. And I pray, oh God, if we've never received the gift of your son, that we would do that today. If you've never received Jesus, just pray this simple prayer. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Become the CEO of my life. Help me to live for you. Prepare a place for me in heaven. Help me to follow you. Not just to know about you, but to know you and the plan you have for my life. God, I pray for everyone today at Hope Church. Gosh, I love our church. Bless them, Lord. Keep them. May your face radiate about them all week long. Give them peace that is found in you. Strength that comes from knowing the Savior. And Jesus, we all thank you together for everything you've done and everything you're doing and that you have prepared a place for us. Amen. Amen. God bless you so much. Thanks for being here, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time.